Up and Vanish Weekly is released every Wednesday and brought to you absolutely free. But for 1 week early access and ad-free listening, subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus at tenderfootplus.com or on Apple Podcasts. If you're already a subscriber, thank you for your support.
This podcast discusses mature and sensitive content, including descriptions of violence that may be triggering for some audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Hey, all, welcome to Up and Vanish Weekly. I'm Maggie Freeling. Today, we're talking about a case many of you may have heard of, but are unaware of the tragic details surrounding her death. Vanessa Guillen was a U.S. Army soldier who disappeared from one of the largest military bases in the country. I remember when Vanessa disappeared because it reminded me so much of Lavina Johnson. You might remember we covered Lavina's case from 2005, another female soldier killed and mutilated while on base. 15 years later, Vanessa's name became a rallying cry for women who are abused in the military. And so I also wanted to cover Vanessa's death, especially because legendary journalist and anchor John Quiñones was taking a deep dive into it. Later, I speak with John about his investigation into Vanessa's death. But first, here's what we know about what happened to Vanessa Guillen.
It's April 22nd, 2020, on the Fort Hood Army Post, located near Killeen, Texas. The sprawling installation covers over 200,000 acres and hosts the U.S. 3rd Armored Corps, the largest armored unit in the U.S. Army. Around 1 p.m., in the parking lot of Regimental Engineer Squadron Headquarters, 3rd Cavalry Regiment, 20-year-old Private First Class Vanessa Guillen appears. Vanessa has been in the Army for almost 2 years and is trained as a small arms and artillery repairer. She spends the majority of her workday within the walls of one of the base's armories, maintaining weapons, and had been working there earlier that day. Later that evening, and 3 hours away, in Houston, Texas, Vanessa's mother, Gloria, is growing concerned. She has been unable to make contact with her daughter for hours, and due to recent conversations with Vanessa, Gloria is beginning to assume the worst. She picks up her phone and informs the base of the situation. Over the coming months, what is discovered about the tragic fate of Private First Class Vanessa Guillen will lead to public outrage, social media movements, and legislative reform.
Tenderfoot TV in Atlanta. I'm Payne Lindsay.
And I'm Maggie Freeling.
And you're listening to Up and Vanished Weekly.
Vanessa Guillen was born and raised in Houston, Texas, to two immigrant parents from Mexico. From a young age, Vanessa was a very athletic and extremely physically capable person. She lifted weights, played soccer, and ran track and cross country. Vanessa was also gorgeous. Photos of her show thick, fluffy, false eyelashes and a glowing white smile. Vanessa was close with her mom, Gloria, who she spent time going to church with. Just a month before her disappearance, at 20 years old, Vanessa got engaged to a young man named Juan Cruz, who also said Vanessa had remarkable strength and would carry him on her shoulders. Juan and Vanessa were to be married that December and were looking forward to the ceremony. Vanessa spent the days before her disappearance with Juan and then went back to Fort Hood, a place she at first loved. According to her mom, Gloria, Vanessa was always interested in the military. Gloria said in interviews as a kid, Vanessa would play with her brother's toy pistol. Despite Gloria's pleads not to, Vanessa enlisted in the Army at 18. At Fort Hood, Vanessa was well-liked and had many close friends, one of whom told the media Vanessa's laugh was contagious. But in the months before her disappearance, Vanessa revealed to her mother that Fort Hood was not what she hoped. She was being sexually harassed by an Army sergeant on base, but she did not say who. Vanessa told her mom she was afraid to report him for fear of retaliation, though it was later revealed that Vanessa did indeed verbally report two incidents to supervisors. Here's more on what authorities learned during the initial stages of the investigation.
On April 23rd, the Army Criminal Investigation Division, or CID, was notified of Vanessa's disappearance. During initial interviews with witnesses, investigators learned that prior to vanishing, Vanessa had been seen leaving her assigned arms room to report to an arms room controlled by Specialist Aaron David Robinson. On April 24th, Fort Hood Military Police issued a Be on the Lookout order to law enforcement agencies across Bell County. In that order, investigators report finding Vanessa's car keys, barracks key, identification card, and wallet in the armory room she had been working in the day she disappeared. Records from Vanessa's phone are then obtained by investigators and show her last text message around 10:30 a.m. on April 22nd to Aaron David Robinson, asking for confirmation on a weapon serial number. On April 28th, almost a week after Vanessa was last seen, investigators were able to question Aaron Robinson, who tells them he went home after finishing work on April 22nd, spending the afternoon with his girlfriend, Cecily, and came back to the base around 6:30 that evening for an online training session, returning home afterwards. With few leads on the whereabouts of Vanessa Guillen, investigators appeal to the public for help, in hopes a new witness will come forward with information to help break open the case.
Specialist Aaron David Robinson was a soldier Vanessa's age who was training as an Army combat engineer. He lived with his girlfriend, Cecily Aguilar. Cecily was separated from her husband, who was also a soldier at Fort Hood. This detail will be important later. Aaron and Vanessa often crossed paths, being that Vanessa was also specializing in weapons engineering. Robinson was the last known person to see and text with Vanessa before she disappeared. Her car keys, identification card, bank card, and barrack key were found inside the armory where she worked, and her family did not believe she would leave those items behind voluntarily. So in early May, dozens of members of Vanessa Guillen's family traveled to Fort Hood to search for Vanessa. They poured through the streets of Killeen, Texas, with signs and photos of Vanessa saying, "Bring Vanessa home," and "We love you and we're praying for you," hashtag find Vanessa Guillen. It was a few weeks after this visit by the Guillen family that investigators would get the break they had been waiting for.
In mid-May, investigators interviewed two witnesses that recall seeing Aaron Robinson wheeling a large tough box out of his arms room on April 22nd. They then observed him loading the box into his vehicle and driving away. Investigators then meet with Robinson, who agrees to hand his phone over to authorities. Records show Robinson placing multiple calls to his girlfriend Cecily Aguilar the night of April 22nd, and as early as 3 a.m. on April 23rd. In June, investigators questioned Cecily, who says she spent the night of April 22nd with Robinson, and that the calls he placed to her were to help her find her misplaced phone. She says the couple left their home that night to visit a park in nearby Belton, Texas. Using this information, investigators tracked the location of both Robinson and Aguilar's phones from the evening of April 22nd. And on June 21st, begin to search an area along the Leon River. There they find what appears to be the burnt remains of the tough box Aaron was seen moving the day Vanessa disappeared. On June 30th, a worker building a fence along the Leon River discovers human remains. They would later be identified as belonging to Vanessa Guillen. Authorities return to confront Cecily Aguilar, who reveals that Aaron Robinson admitted to striking and killing Vanessa with a hammer in the arms room, then removing her body from base. Robinson and Aguilar spent the next several days attempting to dispose of the body. The next day, as authorities prepare to make an arrest, Robinson flees from detention on the base. As agents from multiple agencies close in on his location, a single shot rings out. Moments later, Aaron Robinson is dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. With the prime suspect in the murder of Vanessa Guillen now dead, authorities prepare charges for the accomplice to this sadistic crime.
Three months after Vanessa Guillen was killed, Cecily Aguilar is arrested by Texas Rangers and gives a motive. Aguilar told law enforcement that Robinson picked her up at the gas station where she worked and took her to an area where a box was waiting. Inside, he showed her Vanessa. Then she says that she and Robinson used some type of hatchet or axe to dismember Vanessa. Then they tried to burn her body and place her remains in three separate holes and cover them up. Aguilar told law enforcement all of this was because Vanessa saw a photo on Robinson's lock screen of him and Aguilar. Robinson was worried about getting in trouble for violating the Army's fraternization rules, since Aguilar was still married, yet separated from her husband, who was also a soldier. So in a panic, Robinson hit Vanessa in the head with a hammer. In November 2022, Aguilar pleaded guilty to a count of accessory to murder after the fact and three counts of false statement or representation. In August of 2023, she was sentenced to 30 years in prison. Vanessa's family never gave up hope. And 2 years after their loved one's murder, the Guillen family were in attendance for the sentencing. Recently, I was able to sit down with journalist John Quiñones, who covered Vanessa's case extensively for the 2020 podcast, Vanished: What Happened to Vanessa? We'll bring you that conversation after the break. And we're back. Emmy Award-winning ABC News correspondent John Quiñones has covered Vanessa's case a few times in the past 5 years, so I'm excited to talk with John. John, thanks for joining me.
Oh, Maggie, it's good to see you again. I saw you in Kentucky a few days ago. It's great to be with you. Thank you for having me on. I'm a big admirer of your work, too.
I very much appreciate it. That's right. So now I could do a shameless plug. You are doing a 2020 special on my latest investigation podcast I have coming out called Bone Valley, Graves County. So everyone can check out me and John on that, but we're here to talk about you and Vanessa. When did you first hear about Vanessa Guillen?
It's a story that's very special to me, you know, and it touches my heart because it's a tragedy that happened just a couple of hours from my hometown of San Antonio, 20-year-old Mexican-American, and I could relate to it because I'm Mexican-American. I grew up in the barrio. Vanessa was missing for weeks upon weeks. Her family's frantic. They're pleading. They're demanding answers from the military, asking, how could this happen? They started organizing protests and marches with three women closest to Vanessa leading the charge, her mother, Gloria, her sisters, Maida and Lupe. And the story blows up on social media. I first heard about Vanessa's story when the actress Salma Hayek posted a picture with the hashtag, Bring Us Back Vanessa. And Salma, in her post, said, I'm going to keep posting a different picture of her until she's found. So we started doing research here in Texas. I live in Texas now and reporting two 2020 documentaries that we did on Vanessa.
One of the things I noticed when watching the 2020 special and now listening to the first episode that is out, probably by the time this airs, there'll be a couple more out of Vanished, What Happened to Vanessa, your new podcast. And in the new podcast, I noticed you very much insert yourself. You talk about how much you can relate to this family and you see yourself in Vanessa. Why was that important to you to do in the podcast?
Because no one else was covering it at this level, at the network level. No one was giving it the attention that I felt so deeply it needed. We had done so many other stories about young women who disappeared, but this Latina was getting very little traction on the air. It was her family that started, you know, that just wouldn't give up seeking justice. And it just warmed my heart, because when I got to meet them in Houston, Gloria, the mother, and then Myra, the sister, Lupe, and the father, Rogelio, it just took me back to my little barrio on the west side of San Antonio. My mother, Maria, had an altar just like the one Gloria, Vanessa's mother, had in her house, with candles and the Virgin of Guadalupe. In fact, the daughter's name, Lupe, after the Virgin of Guadalupe. Like my mother did, you know, she would pray when I was covering Central America that I would be back safely. And I think the prayers were answered, because nothing ever really bad happened to me. But I could just connect. They looked so familiar. I walked into their home. They invited me for lunch. I could smell fresh tortillas being cooked. And I had to insert a little bit of that, because I think it just brings it home. And it, you know, I just felt right giving them a little bit of exposure, and I was able to interview the mom in Spanish.
You know, I loved you adding in these scenes, the tortillas, and it was just a really, the first episode is just beautiful, so I just wanted to say that. In journalism, generally, you know, we're told that people can't report on these communities that they are in or from. You know, I'm specifically thinking modern day Lewis Raven Wallace, a trans man was fired for reporting on trans issues. They said, you're too close. You know, have you ever gotten that kind of pushback as a Latino man that, you know, reporting on these issues, he's biased, he's too close, he's not objective?
No. And I wouldn't allow it. I mean, who better to go into those communities than someone who is not perceived as an outsider? People will open up to you more readily if they think, you know, you might understand their plight, whether it be war or tornadoes or, you know, volcanoes or earthquakes. Or, you know, stories on the trans community. I used it to my advantage. I mean, I was able to communicate. I not only understood the language, but the mannerisms. You understand when to step in and when to step away, right? Listen, right before I was hired by ABC, we had a correspondent by the name of Bill Stewart. And if you Google Bill Stewart, ABC News, you'll see the awful video of him getting shot and killed in Nicaragua at a military checkpoint, because his translator had been killed and he couldn't communicate with the soldiers. And on camera, you see them motioning to him. On camera, it's on, you know, it's on YouTube. And you see him getting shot and killed. And then that's when the networks, you know, all of them said, listen, we need to hire someone who speaks Spanish at least to go down there. And someone who doesn't look like such an outsider. I could go into countries and communities where, you know, people might be more readily available to talk to me. You know, I remember Peter Jennings, the great anchorman, once told me, John, when you're down there in Central America, don't worry so much, because I want to do the interviews with Daniel Ortega, the president of Nicaragua. He said, don't worry so much about talking to the movers and shakers of the world. Concentrate on talking to the moved and the shaken. In other words, talk to the real people. He said, the fact that you're Latino, you can go into places where even I, Peter Jennings, can't go. And because you understand the culture and the language, you know, you can get stories from them that they might not be so willing to tell someone else. Give a voice to people who don't have a voice. And what better way to do that than doing it in Spanish?
In your reporting these past five-ish years, you guys really exposed this deeper issue at Fort Hood, and I would say generally a lot of these military bases. What was it that you found and really exposed about what was going on related to her case?
We found out that, as it turns out, Fort Hood faced multiple scandals around the allegations of sexual harassment and sexual misconduct. In 2015, a Fort Hood soldier who also served as a sexual harassment and assault advocate, he was convicted of running a prostitution ring. There have also been questions at Fort Hood about the alarming number of soldier deaths at the base, including death by suicide. In 2020, the same year that Vanessa went missing, 13 Fort Hood soldiers reportedly died by suicide. And this included the case of Elder Fernandez, who killed himself after reporting sexual abuse to his command. The Army later said that it couldn't substantiate his allegations. But in the 4 years before Vanessa's disappearance, more Fort Hood soldiers died in homicides than in battle. And finally, in 2020, the year Vanessa went missing, there were at least 28 Fort Hood soldiers who died, vanished, or in one case, turned up dead after going missing. So that made it a much bigger story, right? It wasn't just Vanessa.
That really is a scandal. Had you reported, I guess, in the U.S., have you reported before on any kind of institutional scandal like that?
Never before. No. When we first pitched doing the story, some folks hesitated because we couldn't get on the base. And it's true. How can you? It's a military base. It's hard to get in there and get answers. So, no, I had never done anything like this before. Fortunately, thanks to the family who started protesting right at the gates of Fort Hood, the military responded. I mean, they visited, they held press conferences, it reached the Pentagon. You know, the family visited President Trump at the White House. You know, it just took off. And on social media, it blew up. You know, we started doing the research and it just got worse and worse.
Yeah. And you got some pretty amazing interviews. I know for sure in the 2020 special, and I'm hoping you can maybe tease what's to come in the podcast, but you interviewed Secretary of the Army Ryan McCarthy and some other high up people. What did you find from talking to them? I mean, if anything, what were those interviews like?
There was a lot of pressure on them early on. They didn't have a lot of answers. They were embarrassed. But they admitted readily that something was awfully wrong at this particular base, Fort Hood. But they quickly moved. A year after this blew up, after the Vanessa Guillen case, the U.S. military underwent significant reforms. You know, most notably, you know, they passed the I Am Vanessa Guillen Act, and that act criminalizes sexual harassment. It moves the prosecution of sexual assault and harassment cases outside of the military's chain of command, and it requires independent investigations and protections against retaliation to the victims, right? Beyond the legislative changes, the Army has implemented a people first. They call it a people first task force, and it addresses any toxic command climate and tries to improve safety and justice. And finally, they imposed new protocols established by the military to prioritize and investigate missing soldiers, which is so different from the initial slow response the military had in Vanessa's disappearance. So it's pretty clear that Vanessa Guillen did not perish in vain.
We'll be back after the break. Here's this week's critical missing case.
Today's case comes from the Chicago Police Department. They are asking for the public's help in locating 15-year-old Tamara Thompson. Tamara was last seen on October 29th and is considered high risk due to her being 7 months pregnant. She is known to frequent the 5100 block of South Martin Luther King Drive. Tamara is described as being 5'7" and 220 pounds. She has black hair and brown eyes, and was last seen wearing a red jacket, white shirt, blue jeans, and blue and white Nikes. She was carrying a white backpack and wearing a wig. So listeners, if you have seen Tamara or know her whereabouts, please contact the Chicago PD Special Victims Unit at 312-747-8274. You can also check out the Up and Vanish Weekly Instagram page at UAV Weekly to see a picture of Tamara and repost for visibility. Thanks.
All right, we're back. Can you tease perhaps any of the new interviews or information we get in this podcast? You know, I know it's not a rehash of what you did. So what can we expect?
Oh, we get to re-interview Myra, the older sister of Vanessa, who led the charge with her mom and little sister in demanding answers and pushing those protests, not only in Texas, but in Washington, D.C. Myra, by the way, is now thinking about running for Congress.
Wow.
She learned so much. She may put it off for a while, but she has a baby boy now, and so she's preoccupied with that. She tells me her mom still is you know, not very well physically. She went through some tough times. She still prays at the altar for Vanessa. Her mom also went to the sentencing. The only person sentenced in this case was Cecily Aguilar, the girlfriend of the man who killed himself, Aaron Robinson. The family went to the hearing, and this woman who was convicted, Cecily, asked to speak to Gloria, Vanessa's mom, and they spoke privately, and she says her mom has forgiven her for what she did. Myra, not so quick to forgive. She feels that this woman, Cecily, should have come out sooner while they were desperately searching for Vanessa for 2 months. She could have spoken up. So you'll hear about that. You'll hear from Myra and I'm going to call Mrs. Guillen, Mama Guillen, they call her. And you will also hear more from the Pentagon. We have our correspondent, Louis Martinez, who's been there decades, will also give us the latest on what's happening in the military on the heels of what happened to Vanessa.
You know, since then, there has been a lot of reporting that has also come out just about other instances in the military. You know, in The Dark, season 3 just covered the Haditha massacre, which I, you know, had never even heard of. It was a cover up. You know, and I just started reading the Fort Bragg cartel about drug trafficking and murder in the special forces. There is so much. What is it about the military? What did you, I don't even know what the question is, but what is causing all of this?
Well, too often soldiers protect each other, and there are repercussions if you speak up. And that's why it's kept under wraps. And that's why women particularly hesitate to speak up. It still exists. You know, there have been some changes. I think the military is trying in this country to implement these new reforms, but it's not perfect, and there's a lot of work to be done. It still is.
John, my last question before I ask you to tell us where we can find you is, what do you think happened to Vanessa? If you could just give us, you know, from your investigation, what do you think happened?
We don't know. The family doesn't know. After all the investigations, we don't know what happened in that arms room when Vanessa was alone with Aaron Robinson. His girlfriend said that Vanessa saw a picture of him with that girlfriend. Aaron Robinson, she says, was worried that Vanessa would, after seeing that screenshot on his phone of Cecily and him, that she was going to tell. And in the military, there are repercussions for fraternizing, right? He went berserk and he grabbed a hammer and then he killed her that way. That's her word, you know? We never heard from Aaron Robinson about why this led to that, and of course not Vanessa. So that's the best we have.
It seems so senseless and horrific, and just thank you so much for staying on it and covering it and bringing all of this to the national spotlight. I mean, if it wasn't for you reporting on it, would we even know any of this? Truly.
We have a great, great team.
Well, John, thank you so much for joining me to talk about Vanessa Guillen and your decades of service to this country in journalism.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Maggie. Great meeting you. Great working with you.
Thank you, John. Where can listeners find you if they want to keep track and follow you?
2020 podcast, you know, Vanished. What happened to Vanessa? It's a 6-parter, and there is so much more to come. I think you'll find it really compelling. And the reason we want to do this is so that people don't forget who Vanessa Guillen was. And to keep the pressure on the military to keep making changes that'll help end, you know, or at least curb sexual harassment and assault on military bases.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Maggie.
John Quiñones' reporting is second to none, I believe, because he's able to use his own personal experiences to expose the humanity and value in folks that others often don't platform and or marginalize. That's what happened with Vanessa. Mainstream networks were not covering her case, while others like Molly Tibbetts and Gabby Petito were all over the news. John recognized himself in Vanessa and knew he had to cover it. In July of 2020, the Army posthumously promoted Vanessa to the rank of specialist. In 2021, the Army released a report admitting to failures, saying Guillen's supervisor and other officials failed to report the harassment up the chain. However, they did not find credible evidence that Robinson sexually harassed her, though they did say that Robinson was reported for sexually harassing another female soldier. The groundswell movement Vanessa's family started and that John later picked up on social media via Salma Hayek helped pass the I Am Vanessa Guillen Act in 2021. The Guillen family was there for the press conference introducing the new legislation. Here's her youngest sister, Lupita.
Not a day goes by that I don't think about Vanessa and how her death could have been prevented. The I Am Vanessa Guillen bill will save lives. We may and have to protect our protectors. We must be the voice to the voiceless, be the help to the helpless, and be the power to empower others to share their stories, and be the change to help others like Vanessa.
If you are a member of the military experiencing harassment or abuse, you can contact the Department of Defense Safe Helpline at 877-995-5247. Y'all, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Up and Vanish Weekly. Be sure to tune in next week as we dig into another new case. Until next time.
Up and Vanish Weekly is a production of Tenderfoot TV in association with Odyssey. Your hosts are Maggie Freeling and myself, Payne Lindsay. The show is written by Maggie Freeling, myself, and John Street. Executive producers are Donald Albright and myself. Lead producer is John Street. Additional production by Meredith Stedman and Mike Rooney. Research for the series by Jamie Albright, Celicia Stanton, and Carolyn Talmadge. Edit and mix by Dylan Harrington and Sean Nerney. Supervising producer is Tracy Kaplan. Artwork by Byron McCoy. Original music by Makeup and Vanity Set. Special thanks to Oren Rosenbaum and the team at UTA, Beck Media and Marketing, and the Nord Group. For more podcasts like Up and Vanish Weekly, search Tenderfoot TV on your favorite podcast app or visit us at tenderfoot.tv. Thanks for listening.